May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Today's message is titled, Blurry, Adjusting Your Focus. And you may have thought, as you drove down the road, what is that last word, this big V on focus? Well, that didn't have anything to do with trying to be cute and say, adjust your focus. It looks like a V. We were out of use, so I had to use the V, okay? Several weeks ago, actually about two and a half months ago, I came home with a horrible revelation to my wife and said, oh my gosh, I think I'm getting older. Duh was a normal response, but, you know, wanting to know what I meant, I said, I think my eyesight's going. I've always prided myself on having great eyesight. I'm an older man, and I can see everything. I can read this and that. I said, but everything's getting blurry to me. Oh, yeah. And I thought, oh, is this for real? I thought, no, they're still just as blurry as ever. We had a birthday dinner at our house a couple weeks ago for some of my sister-in-law, my brother, and my twin brother was over there. Imagine that, twins. And guess what he says? He said, you know, a couple weeks ago, I noticed my eyesight was getting blurry. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said the same thing. So I guess, thank you, Mom. My mom's here today, but it lasted that long. Now it's starting to go away. And my eyesight was getting blurry. So let's take a look real quick at this video and just see what eyesight has to do with adjusting our focus.
EFPTOZ.
Very good. Go to the fourth line.
LPED.
And next line, please.
PECFD.
Now give me each letter from the seventh line.
FELOTC.
Wow.
Let's go to the bottom now. Please read these next three lines.
We don't see things the way they are.
Interesting. Try this. Now read those lines for me again.
We see things the way we are.
Blurry. We don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. And that's what we're going to look at today. Today is a pretty simple message. It's an easy thing. We're going to be in the book of Philippians. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. How many of you guys brought your Bibles with you? Let's raise them up. Jack has a great thing when he talks about bringing our sword each week. It is important to bring our sword. And I see some people, and I know it's hard to do, and we hold it like this. But you know what? This is our sword protecting us against the enemy. So let's wave this up high. Okay, this is my Bible. Now I got to listen to what I say because it's different than Jack. It feeds me. And it leads me. Amen? That's all I can remember, so I did a shorter version, okay? But it feeds me and it leads me. Philippians is where we'll be today, like I said. And I want you guys, if you got a bulletin, flip to the back of your bulletin and look at those things on there. In the back of the bulletin, generally Christians in their walk with Christ are categorized in four different areas. On the back of your bulletin, there's four areas. Number one says, I'm a new believer, someone who recently has given their life to Christ. Number two, I'm a stuck believer. This is someone who reads the Bible and has gone to church for years, but they don't feel close to God for some reason. Number three is a seasoned believer. A seasoned believer is that whose relationship with Christ is the center of their life. A nice, healthy relationship. And then number four is a sideline believer. They've done all the programs, they've done everything, but they're just tired and they need to sit out for a while. And the good news today is, no matter which category you fall in, this message and this Word of God is relevant to you, wherever you are. So if we've got young people in here, it's relevant to our young people. If we have older people that have been in church for years and years, this is relevant to you. If Christ is the center of your life, it's still relevant to you, still applicable every day to maintain some discipline. And then if you feel like you're not close to God, this hopefully will draw you closer to others and closer to God when we look at this thing. So we've got to look at those areas. And then take just a minute as you're going to Philippians and fill in that blank. What do you believe you are? What category are you? Don't say, here's where I'd like to be or I used to be that. Where are you right now with Christ? Because it's going to help you as we look at the message today, figure out where you can adjust your focus and where you need to adjust your focus when it's blurry. So take just a minute to do that real quick. and our hope today and desire today is that we're going to move from an inward focus to an outward focus. I know quite some time ago, Jack in one of his messages said that we feel that we've become inward focused as a church, as people, inward focused. And our desire is to be outward focused and look at everybody else and not just ourselves. What can we do for ourselves? So today's message will help us look at all those different areas. Paul established a church in Philippi. It's one of the largest cities in Macedonia, and he developed a church with a great background of cultures, races, social status, whether they were rich or poor, had a little bit of everything. Sounds to me kind of like an interdenominational church and many of the other things that we feel we invite everybody and everything here. So it was a large church that they had there. And at the time Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church, he was in prison. But he basically was writing a thank you note to the church there, thanking them for the things they did. And what I'm going to do is read, we're going to be in chapter 1 of Philippians, and we're going to read that. It's going to be a little lengthy, and then we'll go back and hit on the key highlights there. And I'll try and skip just a few things, but we're going to read most of chapter 1 and just a few things in chapter 2. And it begins saying, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And if you think back the last several weeks, Jack's message, it always opened the same thing, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Well, the same thing here, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always nice when you have a greeting to add the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Let me stop in the middle of this, because this is what threw me off as I've been studying this, and I mentioned this at Ground Zero, I think it was last week or the week before. Sometimes it's difficult as we read the Bible to get a grasp and understand what it's saying. This sentence is one of those. It's a very long, it's 120 words in this sentence. So bear with me as I read it. I'm not rambling. This is just a long sentence. Yes, I counted every word to see how long it was. But those are the things that slow us down sometimes from reading the word. We think, oh my gosh, what is that saying? The thing went on and on. And I had to go back and say, am I so blurry I missed a period? Or a question mark? Or an exclamation point? 120 words. So bear with me. Starts in verse 3, ends in verse 7, okay? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. There's the end of that sentence. Goes on in verse 8 to say, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And I'll stop there for just a minute. I'm not going to touch on this today other than right now. He's acknowledging that the Philippian church had great amount of love for one another, and he wants them to grow in that love, in knowledge and discernment. One has to do with a person-to-God relationship, and the other has to do with a person-to-person relationship. And he wanted them to grow in both of those roles, person-to-person and person-to-God, and how they grew in those areas. That they would grow in those areas, that they may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'm going to read just a few more verses and then we'll stop and we'll backtrack and get into the meat of the message and break that down. Verse 12 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. A thought we all don't think when we're going through things. But Paul thought that. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. His witness became evident to them, and so other people were bold in speaking about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, young people in school, in grade school, middle school, high school, our college people, it is so important that one person stands up for the gospel of Jesus Christ and can spread that and talk about that without fear so that others may join in with them. And talking to some of our Ground Zero people a couple weeks ago, one young lady said, I talked to people about Jesus Christ, and one of my friends already knows Christ. And I thought, man, she was real secret about that, I guess, because she should have known that already, having been friends for a while. So make sure that as we know about Jesus Christ, we go out and tell people. And young people, you need to give other people boldness by being bold yourself and speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, even if there's fear of retribution or fear of suffering, and we'll talk about that in a minute also. Verse 15 goes on to say, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ with selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Some people preach for notoriety, for a name, make a name for themselves, get money, and other people preach it because they love Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, this I will rejoice. And he's saying, hey, let's just make sure Christ is being preached one way or the other, no matter what the reason. But when we do it, we want to do it for the right reasons. And I think it's great to belong to a church that our pastor, we don't have to question one bit. He's preaching Jesus Christ because he loves Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. So let's go back to verse 1. On the back of your bulletin, I have several points there. And what I want us to do is look at all those different points and find out, where do we fit in that? Based on where we fit in our category, if we're stuck, if we're new, those various things, seasoned or sidelined, what do we feel about serving? Verse 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, they acknowledge. An outward focus says, I acknowledge I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. An inward focus says, serve me, feed me. Quite some time ago, Eric did a message and he talked about someone giving someone an orange. And that inward-focused person looked at it and handed it back and said, peel it. Outward focus says, man, I'll peel that. Thank you very much. Inward focus says, peel it. Feed me. Serve me. Come to me. I have needs. And we all have needs. But an outward-focused person that's a bondservant of Jesus Christ goes to other people in the body. And again, no matter where you are in those categories, this is relevant that we acknowledge that we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. Number 2, verse 2 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simply a greeting. We take time every week to greet one another. An inward focus says, come greet me. An inward focus says, I'm shy. I'm a shy person. I don't go out and greet people well. My wife can go meet and greet everyone. She knows your name. She knows everything about you. She knows what you wore the first time you came to church. And I couldn't tell you if you were here last week. Now, that's not true. I mean, I know if you were here. But I'm saying she knows everything about you. She gets to know you. And she has that focus. I'm not that way. I struggle sometimes to go up and say hi. I struggle just sometimes feeling like, you know, and it's really embarrassing as a pastor in this church, you go up to someone, hi, is this your first time here? No, I've been here 6 other times. I'm like, those are probably on the weeks that I wasn't here, okay? Because I unfortunately missed a lot of church from my job. Outward focus says, I'm going to go greet these people. I'm going to go welcome them into this body of Christ. I'm welcoming them into the family. Where's Haley? Haley, you're getting married soon. Andrew, you're getting married soon. How would you guys like walking into your new family, walking in and they just like, that must be the new girl. That must be the new guy. You don't want that. You want to be welcomed into that family. You want to be a part of that family. You guys, you want to be part of that family. And you want the other members to greet you, but sometimes we have to go greet them also. Outward focus says, I will go greet them. I will find out who the other members of my family are. And when you do it, every now and then, crack a little smile. Shake their hand. Sometimes your stance is scary. You know, my stance may be scary. But smile when you do that. Be happy to meet the other members of your family. Verse 3, we go on in verse 3. And it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Wouldn't that be great if people thought that about us? Adam, man, I thank God every time I think of you. Most of us probably don't think that about others, and they sure don't think that about us. But wouldn't that be great if that were the case? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. And this is a key point in Paul's letter also. When he does this, he's doing this, he writes them the letter out of joy in his heart. He has joy in serving, a joy with serving. An inward focus says, they should be thanking me. Look what I do. I showed up. They should thank me. Outward focus says, man, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you guys. Where's our bread maker? I thank God for you showing up each week with bread and greeting people with a smile on your face. Yes, I'm talking about you. Our bread maker. We thank God for those people that show up. I thank God for you. Been missing in action, gone studying, you're done with your final exam, we hope all goes well. Man, I thank God that you're here and you're here with your son. We thank God when you guys are here filling up these chairs. Is it a statistic? Yes. Are we really thankful? Absolutely. I'm thankful. We thank God for you heading up a class. We thank God for you and your faithfulness to be here. And we thank God for all of you guys. That's an outward focus, that we remember that. And the selfish inward focus says, man, they should be thanking me. Look what I do for them. Look what I did. Look what I brought, bought, gave. I gave them 5 minutes of my time 1 week. They should be thanking me for that. He gives thanks upon every remembrance. Verse 5 goes on. We're going to read verse 5 through 7. It says, thank God for you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of you, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Well, that has to do with partnering and fellowshipping with one another. The inward focus again says, peel my orange. Thank you for bringing it to me. Now peel it for me, would you? Outward focus says, I see you have an orange. You want me to peel that for you? They partnered with Jesus, partnered with Paul in the ministry. They partnered with him in fellowship. We have a great opportunity this afternoon to fellowship and partner with us in ministry. And Eric will talk about that at the end of service for just a minute. Inward and outward focus. Adjusting your focus says, there's areas to serve. We have an organizational chart for the church, and it has different ministry opportunities, different serving opportunities, and some we've just had to take off because there's nobody stepped up and said, I'll do that. There's opportunities everywhere, opportunities to serve, and we're just waiting for smiling faces to be there. Yes, I said smiling faces intentionally. Talks about that in Philippians also. Someone may want to take reference to that in just a minute. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without complaining or disputing. Oh, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Chapter 2, verse 14, just as a side note if you'd like. Okay. We'll skip back and recap verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Persevering. Pressing on. Going on when times are tough. The inward focus says, oh, I'm beat down. I'm destroyed. I have been hurt. And it's amazing that there's a lot of hurt in the churches in America today. Well, throughout the world, but in America today. But Jesus Christ came to free us of all that hurt and all that pain. Yet we continue to drag that sack around like Santa's gift bag. And every time we stop somewhere, we fill it up with another toy, but in this case, we fill it up with another hurt or another anger or another fight or something that upsets us. Persevering, the inward focus says, I'm beat, I'm whipped, I'm done. I'm a victim. But the outward focus says, man, I don't care what's going on. I can still serve and praise God no matter where I am. How many of you guys have watched any prison ministries and seen someone in there preaching Christ? In prison for life. You don't think an inward focus says, man, I'm beaten here. I'm stuck here forever. I'm never getting out. grow where you're planted. If you're stuck in prison, grow there. Grow other people. Press on. Jesus picked some fishermen and various other people, and guess what? From those people, those original 12, here we are. Jesus Christ still needs your help and your help and your help. All you guys, needs your help. Jesus Christ still needs your help in spreading the Word of God. When temptation comes, Jesus Christ needs you to stand up and be bold. Our young people in King's Kids, our young people in Ground Zero, our young college people, He still needs you, and He needs you to be faithful, and He needs you to still serve Him and serve in the church. We're going to move over to verse 12, as we look at suffering. And verse 12 says, But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That goes back into persevering. The things that happen to you can be used to further the gospel. Who better to help an alcoholic through something than someone that's overcome alcoholism? Who better to help somebody that's been sexually abused than someone that's overcome that and acknowledges Jesus Christ as the center of their life and the person or thing behind their restoration? Broken marriages brought back together. Who better than to use people that have been through that and have been reunited? And suffering, the inward focus, sings that Linda Ronstadt song for those of you that are older. Poor, poor, pitiful me, Lord have mercy on me. And the outward focus says, I'm going to use what I've been through for the furtherance of the gospel, as Paul said, in prison, in chains. And he was proud to say that to others. I want you to know what I've been through. And sometimes we don't want to tell people things we've been through because we feel shamed in that for some reason. Or we feel insignificant. What you've been through can further the gospel, even if just to one person. You did a message. You did a message over your pain and your suffering, Ashley. And you brought it to Ground Zero and you brought it in front of the church body. And you said, here's what I've been through. I was a failure. I was this, I was that. I didn't believe in myself. Well, thank God for failures, because that suicide failed. Well, I guess we're thankful for failures at times, aren't we? You preached a message and you furthered the gospel through your pain and through your suffering. You may have done it and thought, nobody cared, nobody knows. But I know they do. From young people to old people, because I've been told and I pass it on to you. You made a difference. And you can continue making a difference through your pain and suffering, but through your victory through that. Suffering. Flip over real quick in chapter 1, verse 27. Verse 27 through 30 in Philippians 1 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. And that's saying, watch our conduct. Find out what category you're in. Am I a stuck believer, a new believer? Watch your conduct, because everybody else is. I'll never forget at Ground Zero, a young man said, you know who I look up to? Who's that? Haley. Oh, how's that? Well, I see her in school every day. She doesn't even know me. I see her in school every day. And I see the way she acts and I see the way she is. And she gives me confidence. And she tells me that's what I should be like. And every one of us, no matter what we're doing, should strive for that. In our business relationships, Jack's talked about business relationships. Nobody's looking. Let me adjust my expense report. I really need that money. Andrew Bellflower called me yesterday or the day before and talked about the importance of being obedient to tithing. Philip and Lori, thank you. Your son is talking to people about being obedient in tithing. And you should be proud of that. And we should all be proud of the people that are around us, sitting around us, our children, our parents, our friends. Verse 29 says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." He's acknowledging that he needs to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And many of you in here have suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, know that you will. It's coming. And that's part of being a seasoned Christian, a seasoned believer. Verse 12 talks about what happened to me has actually turned out to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. He still needs us to further the kingdom. And he still needs us to spread the word of Christ. Our young people, "Oh, I'm too young to know anything. I'm too young to change or affect anybody." Well, that's not true. That's just not true. King's kids, I know those people are changing people. Bible study class on Sunday mornings, I know that's changing people. The prayer meeting Sunday mornings, that's changing people. All those things are witnessing tools. I saw Miss Judy. Miss Judy, fixing food Wednesday nights. That's changing people. And I never realized it till for the while when I came over here, how important that was. That changes people and that connects people. Food is a great connection to people. And it can be a great connection to Jesus Christ. That's witnessing to people, Judy. Outward focus skips all that. I'm a victim. I've been victimized. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. Outward focus says, I can still witness whether I'm in prison for life, for 5 years, whether I've been through these things. Outward focus says, I can still witness no matter what I'm going through. Thelma witnessed to a lady in the hospital hours before her husband passed away. A lady walking past, she said, "Can I pray for you?" The lady said, "Yes, please." And you witness to people in spite of what you were dealing with because you have an outward focus. And you bless somebody that night. You bless more than that person you prayed for because you bless and touch me. And I remember that. Wow. Going through that. And her outward focus said, "This lady needs a prayer. And I can give it to her." That's an outward focus. And then as we read all this, submission. You can't do any of these things without submitting. You either have to submit to somebody else or to people in authority or ultimately to Jesus Christ. Flip over real quick to chapter 2. We're almost done and then we'll take communion. Chapter 2 in verse 9 through 11 says, Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that takes humility and it takes submission in those areas. I want you guys to categorize yourself where you believe you are as a believer. Because I don't think you can grow if you don't see yourself for what you are and where you are. And then I want you to reflect on each one of those areas on the back of the bulletin and say, how can I adjust my focus? If I'm new, stuck, seasoned, or sidelined, I need to adjust my focus. I need to have a renewed vision, a restored vision, a rebuilt vision, but I need to get out of an inward focus. And that means just me. It's all about me. Or an outward focus. There's a funny video floating around on a couple websites, and it talks about the inward focused church, the me church. And the guy's singing all these songs, and rather than singing, "I exalt thee," he's singing, "I exalt me." Rather than singing, "It's all about you," he's singing, "It's all about me." And there's churches that serve that way, and there's churches that have leaders that are that way. We want to be outward focused, and we want to help each other out. You don't have to go there, but verse 2 says, verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." The outward focus says, let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today thankful for the opportunity just to take a look at ourselves, just to take a look at our walk with ourselves, with you, and where we stand, Lord, whether we're new and need to continue growing and press on, whether we are stuck, we've been here, we've read it, but we just don't feel close to you, whether Christ is at the center of your life right now, and you have a well-balanced life with Christ, or you're sidelined and just feel you need to take time off. Lord, Paul puts out a great letter that says, here's the walk of a healthy Christian. We greet one another. We serve you. We give thanks. We pray continually, and we pray for others. We partner in fellowship with one another. We partner in witnessing. We persevere and press on no matter what situation we're in to continue to serve you. And we submit through humility to those in positions of authority and ultimately to you. If you're here today and you need to grow in any of those areas, would you just lift your hand so that I can pray for you? And you need to grow in those areas and say, here's what I need to do on a daily and weekly basis. And Lord, as you add those names and my name to that group, will you keep this a focus of ours? Help grow us in those areas. Thank you. And then ultimately today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to come know Jesus Christ for the first time. Would you just raise your hand if you'd like to know Jesus Christ for the first time also? I want to give everybody an opportunity to know Jesus Christ and to experience the joy of serving Him. Father, we thank you for those that lifted their hand. We thank you for the desire for them to grow in faith, to grow in service and ministry. Lord, we ask you to continue growing this church body, to greet one another, to welcome one another, and to serve one another joyfully. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, to partake of the Lord's Supper, we ask you to just remind us of the sacrifice that your Son Jesus Christ paid for each and every one of us. Lord, at every remembrance of you, that we would give thanks. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. If our men would come forward for communion. Our communion is open. We just ask that you have a reverent heart when you take it. 1 Corinthians says, examine yourself, for whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let each man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And we just ask that you check your hearts today. If there's unforgiveness or sin in your life, that you would take a minute before you come forward and that you would release those things and give those things to Jesus Christ. You don't need to carry these things with you. And just take a minute to reflect and release those things so that we can all come before Him in a worthy manner. The front is now open. If you would come forward and take of the bread and the juice and then take your seats again when you have received it. And please do so in a reverent manner, remembering the price Jesus Christ paid for our sins and for our unworthiness. And give those around you the opportunity to also reflect.